1 Kings chapter 18. 1 Kings chapter 18. We are thankful again to be here in the house of the Lord. I appreciate the good singing. Appreciate you praying for me. Continue to do so. 1 Kings chapter 18. I want you to think about tonight the thought that you are part of the Lord's church. If you're saved, then that means you are, it's of course, saved and then been baptized and you're part of the church. That means you are a called out person. You're called out from the world. Peter describes it this way, that we are a peculiar people. I believe that's a good way to describe us. We're very peculiar. Peculiar people. But that's not peculiar in a bad way or, you know, a strange way, but a peculiar in a good way. We are different than everything else. We're supposed to be different. And the more that we follow the Word of God and the leadership of the Holy Spirit, I think the more peculiar we become. You look back in Scripture and you find men, I think about Noah. Noah was out in the middle of nowhere building a boat. How strange that must have looked. You know, and people, no doubt, said things about him, probably said he was crazy. And if he gave them an explanation, it was that what God said, do it. You know, to the world, that's crazy. To the world, that's strange. To the world, we become very peculiar when we do things like that because we're acting by faith. And we see things a little bit different than the rest of the world sees things. And yet, that's a good thing. John the Baptist, can you imagine if he came to preach to us tonight, what that would be like? I'm not sure how we would respond to that, really and truly. A man that his meat was locust and wild honey, and he lived in the wilderness, and whenever he come into town, he was dressed in camel hair. I don't know how we would respond to that today, but he was peculiar, different. And if you'd have said, why are you so strange? He said, well, God is the one that's leading me. God led me out into the wilderness. God is the one that gave me the message that I'm preaching. And so, again, probably looked at him just a little bit different. As we follow the Spirit of God, I believe the more that we do that, the more that we will stand out. And we need to be okay with that. We're God's people. We need to be okay with being different. 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 40. Right after the big showdown, Mount Carmel showdown, and Elijah calls fire down from heaven. Now verse 40, and Elijah said unto them, take the prophets of Baal, let not one of them escape. And they took them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishon, and slew them there. And Elijah said unto Ahab, get thee up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain. So Ahab went up to eat and to drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Mount Carmel, and he cast himself down upon the earth and put his face between his knees and said to his servant, go up now, look toward the sea. And he went up and looked and said, there's nothing. And he said, go again seven times. And it came to pass at the seventh time that he said, behold, there riseth a little cloud out of the sea like a man's hand. And he said, go up, say unto Ahab, prepare thy chariot and get thee down from that the rain stop thee not. I want to get a picture, first of all, of Elijah, lest we build him up to a spiritual level that is unattainable. I think a lot of times we see men in Scripture that do great things and we think, well, they're superhuman. They're more than just man. James 6, verse 17 lets us know this. He was a man, so he was not an angel. He was not superhuman. So, well, he was a prophet. He was a prophet. What is a prophet? Just simply a submissive servant of God. Just given a job to do. What is a preacher? Just a servant of God that's been given a job to do. What is a member? Just simply a servant of God that's been given a job to do. We've all been given a vocation, and God's called us to walk worthy of the vocation in which we've been called. And that's all Elijah was a man who was given a vocation, and he was called to walk worthy of the vocation. So he was a man, and before he could surrender to God and say, "Here I am," I believe he had to say, "Woe is me." I think that's exactly the way we find other prophets in Scripture. You know, you can turn and read Isaiah the prophet, and he said, "Woe is me," before he said, "Here I am." And so we need to keep that in mind. God has to humble us, or really we'll never be any use to him whatsoever. And I believe that's the way you find Elijah. He was a humble man, and yet he was a servant of God, and he walked worthy of the vocation which he's been called. Now, he was a man, and the Bible said he was subject to like passions as we are. That means he was tempted like I'm tempted, like you're tempted. He was just as prone to run as anybody else when things got tough, and yet you find him wax bold. You also find him at a time where he's seemed like thrown in the towel, don't you? Just like we do. Sometimes that's the way we are. I give up. I don't see a use. And we find him throw in the towel, and God had to get a hold of him there as he was hiding out in the cave. So he was subject to like passions, just like we are. Yet he prayed, and James lets us know this. He prayed. How did he pray? He prayed effectually. He prayed fervently. And of course, he was a righteous man. He lived a righteous life before God. And so he had great power with God through prayer. He prayed with great faith toward God. I wonder sometimes if we have any faith in God when we pray. He had faith in God. And he walked in the center of God's will. Now, I said he had faith in God. I want to just throw something out there that's interesting to me. He was living during the greatest famine that's ever been on the face of the earth, maybe. A time when he had prayed and God stopped the rain. It had not rained in 3.5 years. So this is not like a time we say, "Oh my goodness, we're in a deep drought." Well, maybe there's times when Mississippi's in a deep drought. Maybe there's time when Texas is in a deep drought. But this was a time when the world was in a deep drought. A time when nowhere on earth was there any rain. And it was dry 3.5 years, you can imagine, after the first year. You know, probably most of the crops and animals had died. And now you dragging around 3.5 years. I believe they're living on whatever they were able to store up. There's nothing growing. Probably, you didn't see green anywhere. Everywhere was probably scorched. The earth was scorched. And so, in the midst of all this, Elijah has a showdown with the prophets of Baal. And he watches as they jump around and hoot and holler and cut yourself with stones and do all manner of crazy things, trying to provoke their God to show up in some manner. And, of course, they want to see fire come down from heaven. And after it's all said and done, Elijah, he does not just call fire down from heaven. He said, "Go get 4 barrels of water." Joey, I wonder where they got that from. That had to have been a precious, precious resource. You talking about have faith in God? Whenever you trying to scrap and hold on to everything you have to say, "You know what, go get 4 barrels of water and just soak the altar. Let's prove the altar. Let's prove our God. I'm going to prove God in such a way. I've got such faith in Him. Pour all your water on the altar." Don't you know, as they're pouring that water, them prophets, they're probably licking their lips, thinking, "Man, he's wasting all that water. Our God didn't show up. You know his God's not going to show up." And yet, he already knows. He already knows what's about to happen. He has such a faith in God. Now, you notice, again, Elijah, and this is what I'm going to deal with, verse 41. "And Elijah said unto Ahab, get thee up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain." Elijah is walking so close to the Lord. He is such a spiritual man. He's such a prayer warrior. He has such a relationship with God that he's hearing something that no one else is hearing. He heard the sound. I hear it too. He heard the sound of abundance of rain. No, but listen, it didn't start raining right then whenever he heard that. He had not even prayed about this. At least that we know. I'm sure he's prayed every day. But after he tells Ahab this, he gets out and he puts his head between his knees and he begins to pray that God would send the rain. And he tells his servant, go seven times. So there's not a cloud in the sky whenever he tells him this. There's not thundering off in the distance when he says this. He just knows his God. And so he's walking with the Lord in such a way, he hears something nobody else can hear. Reckon what everybody else is tuned into. Now, I'm going to do some supposing here, and that's what it is. This is what I think. And the reason I think this is because men tend to gravitate toward bad news. So I think that probably everybody else, they're complaining. Because we are complainers by nature. And when things are not going good, we want everybody to know how bad it is. And we want to make sure we put the spotlight on just how bad things are. And so every time we get a chance, we talk about how bad things are. And I'm sure what you, everyone else is tuned in to, not Elijah, everyone else is tuned in, oh, the heat is so hot. Man, this drought so bad. Oh, the cattle's all, my cattle's all died off. How about you? Yeah, my cattle died off a year ago. Well, I tell you what, we still got one old milk cow, but it dried up. I mean, it looked like it's going to kick the bucket just any time. That's how we are. We tune into the troubles. Oh, the food prices. My goodness. We hadn't been able to eat in 3 days because who can afford it? I mean, what little flesh? It's just cost your arm and leg. I'm sure they complaining about that. Oh, the dust. Man, you can taste it. Everywhere you look, it's in the air. Dust everywhere. I can't stand the dust. I don't really know what they're discussion and what's going on, but I do know the habit of man generally, we gravitate toward the bad news. But in the midst of all this, there is a righteous prayer warrior that has a relationship with his God, and he hears something nobody else hears. I hear the sound of abundance of rain. That's good news. Nobody else is hearing that, just him. We sing a song, I'm pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day, still praying as I'm onward bound. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. And in the chorus of the song, Higher Ground, it says, a higher plane that I have found. Because I'm pressing on the upward way, because my relationship with the Lord is such that I am striving, I'm pressing to find that higher ground. He said, again, the song says, a higher plane that I have found. A faithful child of God that is pressing for higher ground, I believe will find higher ground. I believe that. Elijah seems to be on the next level, so to speak. He was hearing what others could not hear. I want to ask you this afternoon, this evening. What are you hearing? What are you hearing? What have you got your ear tuned into? Because I tell you, we have to be very intent on what we're hearing right now. Sometimes I'll make statements and my children will say, I am so tired of hearing how bad everything is. You know why? That's what they're hearing. That's all I hear. How bad things are. I'm tired of hearing about our country falling apart. I'm tired of hearing that. You know why they're tired? That's what they're hearing. That's what I'm hearing. That's what I'm saying a lot of times. And God forgive me for that, because it's so easy to pay attention and try to focus on what's wrong what the problem is, the problems we're dealing with. And I ask you, what are you hearing? Because are you tuned in to the voice of the sweet Holy Spirit of God? Are you reading the Word of God? Because this is not doom and gloom. This is not. This is not doom and gloom. This is hope. This is the living Word of God. And as God's people walk close to Him, we're not just, you know, things are not the mully grubs and if that's even a word, it's not bad and it's not always awful. What the closer we walk to the Lord, the better life is. It's good. The life of a child of God is good. To have life, to have it more abundantly. And so a child of God that's walking hand in hand with the Lord is on a little bit different level. And I'm not, I hope you don't take that and run with it, think we're holier than thou. That's not what I'm saying. But to just be in tune with the Lord, and we're hearing what the world's not hearing. All the world hears, all the news media, all everybody's complaining and everything's so bad, but it's not. It's not so bad. We just need ears to hear. Yes, the world sounds hideous, don't it? Oh, the news is always negative. The outlook is always seems doom and gloom. But the world is hearing the world. And they're repeating the world. And they're seeing life from a viewpoint absent from God. And so they have no hope to report. But I don't have to see it like that. For a child of God, there is the sound of abundance of rain. The Lord is coming to get us. If you say, well, I tell you what, I'm not ready for that. I think we need to dig a little deeper. The fact that God is coming back is not bad news. That's good news. It's good news. Maybe in our little mind we've built up heaven that it's going to be, you know, sitting around on a cloud playing a harp, singing Amazing Grace for 1,000,000 years, bound to get bored just doing that. You see, again, we're hearing that from the world. That's the world's point of view. Stop and think of who God is. The Creator of the world created us. Spoke everything into existence in 6 days. On the seventh day He rested. But He's been preparing us a place for 2,000 years. Stop and think about that. We don't have doom and gloom to look forward to. What a way to spend forever. Go and be with the Lord. Look at John chapter 11. I ask you, what are you hearing? What are you tuned in to? John chapter 11. Verse 23. As Jesus would show up to the tomb of Lazarus, John 11, verse 23, Jesus said unto her, "Thy brother shall rise again." Martha said unto Him, "I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Jesus said unto her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this?" She said unto him, "Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world." And when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary, her sister, secretly, saying, "The Master's come and calleth for thee." Now, Martha, she always gets a bad rap, a lot of times from me. She does. Martha, Martha. Aren't careful and troubled about many things. Martha, Martha, you're cumbered about much serving. And she was busy dealing with the things that were important to her, And she was missing that good thing that was right in front of her, right under her nose. I could have used that this morning. It was just right under her nose, just a stone cast away. But she gets a bad rap so many times because she was cumbered about much serving and missing some things, but not here. Not here. Thy brother shall live again. And listen to what she said. I know he shall live again in the resurrection. You know why that's significant? Because I'm not sure how much the other disciples really grasped that. In fact, Thomas, Jesus made a statement in John 14, verse 3. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place, I will come again to receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. I go to prepare a place for you, and I'm going to come back and get you. And he says, where I go, you know, and the way you know. And Thomas, old doubting Thomas, he said, Lord, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? My goodness, where have you been at? Where have you been? 3.5 years, maybe, he's been walking with the Lord. He has heard Jesus teach the gospel, proclaiming the gospel in the flesh. I think Jesus has told him about the resurrection before. He's preached it to him. But man, he has missed it. Martha had been listening. She's hearing things some of them other disciples were not hearing. She'd heard about the resurrection. She understood that I know that we will live again. I know that. I know. She'd been listening. She'd heard something that Thomas had missed altogether. She had heard and she knew of the resurrection. This is what I want to get across. Now, she was tuned in to the Lord's preaching and she was hearing differently than some of these others. She had ears to hear. I believe this, Brother Jake. I believe that spiritual people hear differently than carnal people do. Spiritual people are listening to the Word and not so much about all the other stuff going on. Spiritual people. But now, you may be spiritual today and wake up on the wrong side of the bed tomorrow, and you hear in like the rest of the world. It's so easy to get caught up in that web that's been set for us, and it's so easy to get caught up in the world. But I want us to see tonight that if we just walk hand in hand with the Lord, that we don't have to worry so much about all the doom and gloom that's being foretold all around us all the time. We're the children of God. God's coming back to get us. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things unseen. So not only do spiritual people hear differently, but they see differently as well because they see by faith. You take the Word of God and God said it, that settles it in my heart. Don't really matter what the world says about it, what they think about it, because I know what the Word of God says and I'm going to trust the Word. That's different. Same way with seeing. Not Elijah, but Elisha. Elisha is surrounded by the enemy. You know the story. His servant wakes up and looks out and just panics. What in the world are we going to do? In my own words, what are we going to do? They've got us surrounded. And I see Elisha, he just kind of steps out. He don't panic. He's not worried. You know why? Because he sees differently than everybody else sees. And he prays, Lord, would you open the eyes of my servant and let him see? And all of a sudden, God grants his request, and that servant's eyes change. He sees. And he looks around. I wish I could see the expression on his face. I wish maybe the Lord's got a camera and he took some snapshots of different episodes that took place throughout history. Probably not, but that would be kind of neat, I think, to be able to see the expression on that servant's face when his eyes were open and he looked around. And there's chariots of fire all around. And that little servant, all of a sudden, he sees like a man of God ought to see. And he comes to admit, there's more with us than they are with them. But Elisha was seeing it all along because he trusted the Lord. I'm not talking about seeing with his natural eyes. I'm talking about seeing with spiritual eyes. He knew, my God is going to take care of me. I tell you tonight, I've read the back of the book, we win. We win. Devil can make a lot of noise, cause a little havoc in the lives of people. He caused havoc in this country. Certainly he's doing that. And I'm not even going to take the time to list all the bad stuff that fella's doing. And of course, the world system is corrupt and governments is corrupt. And you know, we learned about the principalities and the powers and all of that this morning in Sunday school. So we're not going to go back through all that. But when it's all said and done, the Lord's coming back, and every knee's going to bow, and every tongue's going to confess he's Lord of lords. And that's good. It's good for me because I've trusted him. It's good for this church because that's who we serve. And if you're here and you're lost, I want to encourage you to trust Jesus so you won't have to bow your knee to the Lord as a lost man or a lost woman. You want to bow to him already, have trust in him. But don't just hear the doom and gloom. Let the drought come. Let things get tough if it must. There is a sound of abundance of rain in the distance for us. We already have victory in Jesus. This world is about to see it as well. Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, maybe not in my lifetime, but this world's about to see Jesus won victory on Calvary. He won it. He won it for all mankind. If you've trusted him, it's going to be shouting time. And listen, now we can walk close to the Lord, and he said, I will grant you to sit in my throne with me. Just overcome it, overcomer. We can overcome this world. We don't have to get bogged down. Colossians, set your affections on things above, not on things on this earth. There's a different way of seeing things and what the world would have us to do. I want to encourage you, get into the Word. If you're not already, you get into the Word and you study the Word and you have faith in God and you trust Him and let His Spirit settle you. You see things differently than everybody else. We ask for something.